take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
In an educational landscape that values inclusivity and diversity, understanding federal anti-discrimination law is paramount to ensuring the protection of all students, including non-LGBTQ individuals. The Get It Straight initiative seeks to shed light on these laws and empower schools to create a safe and equitable environment for every child. Federal anti-discrimination laws, such as Title IX and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, prohibit discrimination on the basis of sex, race, color, national origin, and religion in educational settings. While these laws have historically been instrumental in safeguarding the rights of marginalized groups, recent debates have surfaced regarding their application to protect non-LGBTQ students from discrimination and harassment. By providing clarity on the legal framework surrounding anti-discrimination laws, attorney Mike Yoder's Get It Straight initiative equips educators, administrators, and parents with the knowledge needed to advocate for the rights of all students, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. Through education and awareness, schools can cultivate a culture of inclusivity. I can never say that word. Inclusivity and respect, fostering an environment where every child feels safe, valued, and empowered to thrive. Join us today as we hear from Trevor and Kim Adams' story of how they use this information to champion the rights of non-LGBTQ students and promote a school environment that upholds the principles of equity and justice. Together, we can work towards a future where every child can learn, grow, and succeed without fear of discrimination or prejudice. Let's get it straight and pave the way for a more inclusive and equitable education system for all. Welcome, Trevor and Kim. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us. It's been a while. It's good to see you again.
Yes, definitely. So Trevor and I met when he blew the whistle on ESPN. And then we became friends. You know, there's not very many whistleblowers that are willing to risk it all. And I'm happy to see that the two of you are just so cute together, that you are still together and you weathered that storm. Trevor, why don't you start off before we get into this exciting news of what you guys did together to make change in your school district? But tell people a little bit about what you did blow the whistle on.
Okay, so starting out with Trevor, everybody. I teamed up with Project Veritas in 2021 and James O'Keefe, and exposed some things going on at Disney and ESPN. I worked at ESPN full time. It's owned by Disney, so a lot of the training and everything I went through was Disney related protocols and everything. So you can always find that on Rumble or other websites on there if you want to check out the story if you don't know it too well. But that's how I got familiar with Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, and a few other people as well, that led me to Mike Yoder. And I met Mike through you, Jody, at the AmFest in 2022, when James and Project Veritas invited us out there, and followed his career, what he's fighting for, and obviously followed his journey with you and your cases that you have going. And what a great man. I support that guy 100%. I love what he's fighting for. I love what he stands for. And I'm so glad that I got to meet him and I followed him. And going into last year, June of 2023, he was offering a constitutional law workshop. I had to write that down in case I forgot, but it was a constitutional law workout workshop for anybody who wanted to join and learn about just everyone's rights as a citizen, as parents. I kind of wish I knew all this before ESPN. My ESPN story would have helped on a lot of things. But I was like, at that point, hey, who knows what the future has in store for me? It's better to learn this stuff now. But thank God I took those courses and learned a lot. That led me to follow more of Mike Yoder's cases and things that he was working on. And then I saw that he's recently representing a client in the Denver public school system, a father who has a child in the Denver public school system, who's having to deal with the same situation as us, where he feels like his First Amendment speech is being violated, where he's not allowed to put up a flag of his that he supports because I guess there's a pride flag in his son's classroom.
Yeah.
And all he was asking for was to put up a heterosexual flag, a straight
Which
flag.
Which I didn't even know we had one. Did you? Did
no,
you know
I didn't
there
know
was
either.
A straight flag? Fly your straight flag. I always knew
I did.
Fly your freak flag.
Yeah. I mean, I knew there was one, but I've never seen one. I've always seen just the pride flags everywhere, but.
Yeah, I had no idea. So, and Mike has it on his Instagram post for all those that are watching. Had no idea. So learned up more on that, studied on that. And that's kind of like what helped us with us because.
You know, before we get into that though, Trevor, I want to tell people what did you blow the whistle on with ESPN?
Okay. So I blew the whistle on, gosh, it started on one thing and it turned into many things. It, racism, discrimination, it led to company retaliation for blowing the whistle. I showed the process where if you wanted a religious accommodation to the vaccine mandate that was being enforced by Disney, I showed that whole process, how they violate your rights. Basically, it was an hour interrogation, questioning my faith and everything just to get that approved, which eventually it did. But mainly in the studio, in the building, I don't think it's a surprise to a lot of people that ESPN is known for, you know, liberal causes. They're definitely on the left side of things. Mm-hmm. And the environment was just a very toxic situation to work in. I witnessed, you know, first starting out there where the majority of people there were maybe conservative, and then it flipped the other way around where 99% of the people are liberal, and there's maybe me and a few others that were left over after they pretty much forced people to leave or quit or fired.
Over the mandate?
Yeah. Yeah, just well, no, not the mandate, but just over the course of my decade of working there, you saw the internal ideology change because we were a small studio in Charlotte where we were just covering ESPNU, and then we got a deal with the SEC network and the ACC network, and it made us much larger. And they brought more of their in-house people from ESPN Bristol, Connecticut, which is I think to 300 in a year. So with that, you saw the ideology in the building change so rapidly, and it just made it very toxic. You know, ESPN and Disney, they champion themselves on being all for, you know, inclusion and equality and justice for all and social justice. And on the inside, if you watch my story, it exposes that it's the complete opposite. They play people against each other, based off their color, their sexual identification, and things like that. So, because a lot of people don't realize that I really started it because they were personally attacking me for declining the CRT training that Disney was enforcing. They said it was optional. So
critical race theory, correct?
Yeah, critical race theory. Is that what I said? Sorry.
No, you said CRT.
Critical race theory, CRT training. I refused it. And ever since I refused it, they started treating me a lot differently than the other employees who were taking these optional courses. And so that's when I contacted James and Project Veritas, because I saw the retaliation and the different treatment they were doing to me inside the building. And that's when I started, okay, I need to start protecting myself. I need to start recording. And I wanted to show that story of the inside of everything. And then that's when it just led to everything else, the racism, discrimination, the vaccine mandates. It just turned into another curveball after curveball. So some people think I just started there I just started to record people, and that wasn't the case. I had a lot of things going on. I was just trying to defend myself, and I just turned into other things.
Which, right. Other things surfaced.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So, well, thank you for that. Thank you for exposing, I think it's just really important and it doesn't have to be on this huge level that people blow the whistle. Like, there's corruption in every facet of our society. And the more people are willing to speak out against it, the better it will be for all of us. Because when we silence our voices, that's how like communism creeps in. They get people afraid to talk, and then people just become used to doing that, that's not what our constitution. And even talking about constitution, I wish I knew a lot about the constitution prior to this. I had no idea that sheriffs held so much power. I would have grabbed a sheriff, about the mask issue. You know what I'm saying? I homeschool my son now, and he is in civics and intro to law and constitution. And he said, "Mom, I'm already taking a constitution. I don't need to have three of them." I said, "Oh, yes, you do, because it's one of the most important things." I said, "I may need you to represent me."
Yeah.
See, as long as this case is going.
Goodness.
I know. I mean,
that's the thing with public school systems these days. Mm-hmm. I wish, I don't want to say my age, but let's just say 20 plus years ago, I wish I learned more about banking and financial courses and how to handle money and businesses and obviously constitutional law and more about the constitution and history. And you can see the agenda that's happening in these schools is they're taking this out. They don't want the kids to be educated on this stuff, because if they're ignorant and not know these issues, they have really nothing to stand for or fight for if they don't know it. So I definitely believe it's an agenda of why they don't have these things in the schools.
Well, you're exactly right. I interviewed a school nurse, and she's in a conservative area on the East Coast. But yet, they're following all of this, transgender, gender equality, COVID protocol, like everybody hopped on all of that. And she says, like, it is horrible. She does not, like, she said, kids do not have coping skills anymore at all. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, say if we didn't feel well, our parents would be like, "Unless you're throwing up, you're not coming home." Well, now the school nurse is like calling, the parents, and they're like coming to pick the kid up all the time. She's like, they have no coping skills at all. She even had one where a group
of my sister's kids, they do this in her, because they're in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And she gets calls all the time because one of her kids will have diarrhea,
right,
and they will make her go and pick her kid up from school for diarrhea.
Yes. Yes. I remember when
they were like, "Oh, he's sick."
Yeah. He's sick. When Benjamin,
even sick though. He just had diarrhea.
When he went back to school for a very short time, I told him, I said, "You do not say anything. You do not, unless you are throwing up, then you call me, then you could call me, but I don't want to hear about a cough or anything like that. And you're certainly not testing, and we're not going down that rabbit hole."
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. We
see a lot of it because pretty much her entire family is in Massachusetts, which we know is a very liberal state.
Yes.
And the things they have to go through is complete opposite down here in North Carolina. It's a lot different. Right?
Yeah.
You've witnessed a lot of things to your family and their kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, so I want to just shout out Mike Yoder's website. It is Yoder Esquire. Hold on. Yeah. Yoder, YoderEsq.com /straight. Check that out. But guys, let's get into your story about, I know you saw Mike's course and you realized what was happening, but what was happening in your daughter's school? I have a little timeline here. Why don't you start off with that, Kim?
So this, well, we kind of knew what was going to be the trend for the school year based off of open house. So oh. we
what
went
is, to open what house. Was open house like?
Open house was pretty interesting. So we got there and we did notice a pride flag sticker on her teacher's door to the classroom. And then upon entering the classroom, her teacher was wearing a mask. And so we immediately turned to our daughter and we were like, don't freak out. Your teacher has a mask on. And, you know, this is probably just a temporary thing. Her teacher said she had had COVID or something. And she was just trying to be respectful. But per a friend of mine who's also a teacher at that school, the pride sticker has been on her teacher's door for about 3 years.
Oh, okay. Did she have blue hair?
Multiple years of kids. Huh?
Did she have blue hair too?
No. Okay. No, she looks normal.
She looks
normal. I know, right? Not saying people with blue hair is not normal, I know, but right, she right, has right. normal color.
Unless you're 80 years yes. old, then you can have blue hair.
Yeah, or like silver or something.
Right.
So yeah, this was January 18th. I had come home from work early because we were done for the day, and Haley was home, and that's our daughter. But she was really upset, and she was talking to me about a class discussion, and you know, no notification from the school. The teacher didn't send out a text or email about anything that had been discussed in the beginning of the day. This happens like first thing in the morning. But I guess from what she told us in the morning, her teacher selects a couple of kids to stand up and share something about them with the class so they can, you know, get to know each other better. So it was a particular boy's turn and he stood up and he told the class that he was bisexual.
How old is your daughter?
She's 10.
This is fifth grade.
Fifth grade.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that the teacher knew that he was because she said that the teacher had mentioned that was something he wanted to tell the class for a while now. So I think she wanted him to tell the class because she has own personal connection to that said topic. And then she proceeded to let the kid explain what that meant to the class. And his words were, I like men and women. So then they started talking about that a little bit more. And then the teacher, to make him feel comfortable from what she told me, started to empathize with the kid and tell the class that her own son was gay. And that it's okay to be whoever you are. And then she started talking about pride and then pointed out why she has the pride sticker on her door and what that stands for. So this all happened without any communication from the school. I immediately emailed the principal that night and I said, I am coming to the school tomorrow. You let me know what time you can make time for me and I will be there. And so I did. I ended up going to the school the following day. I had a meeting that lasted about an hour with the principal and the teacher, and it was very unproductive. The teacher did not have any remorse for how she handled that situation. She said she would have handled it the same way if it happened again. We just kept like circling around. Mm-hmm. And she at one point asked how I would have handled the situation. And I told her I wouldn't have discussed that with the class. I think that's inappropriate for people like me who had opted out of health discussions like that.
Right.
She completely ripped mine and Trevor's right as parent to have that as like a discussion with her. And I would have put that kid in the counselor's office and called his parents. So
yeah, that's yeah.
It's just what, crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, why you don't talk about sex with kids?
No, I mean, it's so inappropriate. I mean, and some of these kids still think that like their toys are real.
Right. Right.
Like how do you grasp that that's like even a thing at 10 years old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that made me most mad and that whole discussion with her and the principal that day was that she brought up Christianity in the discussion, and she was like, you know what? This is why she is so upset, because her and this boy talk about what it's like, what it means to be Christian in class, and talk about Christianity with each other all the time. And how is it that he's bisexual and a Christian? And so I'm sure she's just very confused.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
So then I asked Haley about it, and she said, I don't know why she's lying to you. Why is she lying to you? I don't ever talk to him about that. But it's because her teacher knows that's like, you know, we're Christians. And so she
decided to
put it in there to use it to her advantage so that she didn't get in trouble with the principal.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What did you think, Trevor? What did you think? I don't want to get a male opinion on this. Because, well, you know, I will be honest with you. In this, you know, I don't know, last 4 years, you see women, you know, fighting. And so I'd love it when a man stands up as well. So, yeah. What did you think?
I didn't let him come. The first time I met with him, I made him stay home because I didn't know how he was going to react. So I booted him out.
Okay. So she knows you.
Yeah.
Yes. It's probably good that I didn't go to that first meeting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When this all happened, of course, I was very upset, furious to be, you know, the right word for it. But first thing I did is I called my mom. She was a teacher for 44 years. She did fourth grade. So I asked her what should have done? Like, what should this teacher have done? And she said she should have immediately got a counselor or someone else at that school to, you know, remove that boy from class and have a separate conversation with him and not in front of the class. And I'll have a 30-minute discussion about, you know, sex and gender fluidity and topics like that. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, she should have never injected her own personal beliefs in the subject as well. Cause their argument may be like, all right, well, we're protecting, you know, this group of people, but now at the same time, what about the other people who aren't comfortable with this? You're not treating them now the same as you're treating them. It's a tough line that you can't please everyone. Right. That's why my mom was just like, you know, she should have had a counselor come, you know, have that boy taken out of class when that had happened and go from there. But that obviously didn't happen. So, you know, obviously with the Disney and ESPN stuff that I went through, you know, it was much harder on my wife during the whole time, you know. Mm-hmm. God love her. She was my rock behind it all. You know, right? What do they say? Behind a great man is an even greater woman.
Right.
So I definitely got through that whole thing because of her. And I know it's not easy. It's not easy being a whistleblower or confronting, you know, topics like this in today's world, because you get blacklisted or banned. Mm-hmm. Or just shunned. So I asked her, I just said, is this something you want to fight for and do? And I'll have your back. I'll be here. I'll be here to support you. And she definitely wanted to do this. So I said, I'm here when you need me. And so I definitely encouraged her to do what she did and ask for these meetings. And I do think it was a good idea for me to stay home because I don't know how I would have reacted in person.
Okay. But, right. Go ahead. Yeah. Kim.
I was just going to say, I just want to do this for the kids who have not told their parents as this has happened. Mm-hmm. I'm just like advocating for the other kids, the majority of her kids in her class that feel uncomfortable equally. Right. And whose parents are in the dark about this.
Because that's one thing. When this all happened, no parents were contacted at all. Nobody was. Mm-hmm. Until we said something.
Did you reach out to the parent? Yeah, did you reach out to the other parents?
So I know two parents in that class out, you know, and had their information. So I messaged one of them via text message, and we were texting, and then she was kind of like, oh, you know, I don't think we have the same thoughts on this topic.
Oh.
And I said, I'm not homophobic. I'm right. just saying that I think that this should have been told to us before it was a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then she agreed. And then the other one, she was really angry. So I don't really know what happened with that. But I do. I know she didn't really know much. And so she was thankful that I told her. But I have to follow up with her. If she, you know, talked to the teacher, I have no idea.
Okay. And, you know, I mean, I think this is you know, I actually, if you think about it, an underlying problem of a sense of community, you know, it's we're not together as a community like we used to be, you know, and where everybody talks to one another. They're living in the same area. This is a public school. I mean, everybody should be in, you know, in a close vicinity to one another, that you do kind of know parents and this and that. But then again, kids don't go out and play and ride their bikes and stuff like that like they used to. You know, I mean, I live in an apartment. I don't really know my neighbors. You know what I'm saying? So, that's where community is important. Okay, so you discussed this with the teacher and the principal, Kim, and nothing really came of it. And then what transpired?
It was just like, it just like ended. And then a few days went by. It was, I think I met with them. Yeah, it was a Friday. And then over the weekend, I just kept thinking that I was just so frustrated and angry. So then I decided to start figuring out who else I could contact about this. And so I found the superintendent's information on, you know, the internet. And so I reached out by email to her. And I waited a week. I didn't have a response, but I had to go to the school because I had to pick her up for a dentist appointment, Haley, early. And when I got in the office, I was really frustrated. The principal wasn't in the office, but, you know, their receptionists and stuff were in the office. And I told them that I was frustrated. And they went and told the principal that I had been in and expressed my frustrations with, like, the whole situation. And so she wrote me an email and said, here's a contact for my superintendent for this school district. So I wrote to her, and then I had a phone conversation with her, and it went pretty well. I mean, she definitely understood where I was coming from, and she was apologetic.
You know what? Let's pick up on that after the break. I need to go to break real quick. Guys, I don't know if you've checked out our store, but we have a lot of amazing products in our family of sponsors. If you go to AmericaOutloud.shop, you will get exclusive discounts available only to America Out Loud Talk Radio listeners. And here on Nurses Out Loud, we sponsor ASEA products. Love ASEA. It is a redox signaling molecule that really goes into it. It comes in different forms, whether it be skincare or drinks that you can take, or even their gel that helps with pain and inflammation. It's just an amazing line of products that the Nurses Out Loud support. So check out ASEA Redox Gel in the America Out Loud shop. And we will be right back after the break.
It's time and this is
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from americaoutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak.
Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, guys. You are listening to Nurses Out Loud, and I am your host, Nurse Jody O'Malley. Today, I have with me Kim and Trevor Adams, who used Mike Yoder's Get It Straight toolkit to, oh my goodness, why do I not have my words? Sorry. They used Mike Yoder's Get It Straight toolkit to advocate for the non-LGBTQ kids in the school. All right. Well, there you go. I'm going to let you talk for the rest of the show. Go ahead, Kim.
So I talked to the superintendent, and she told me she would be in contact with the principal. She did tell me at that phone meeting that the teacher had violated a couple of school board violations, like the rules for the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really know what, you know, they didn't tell me what they were going to do as far as right. reprimanding or anything, but I did have a follow-up meeting at the school after that with the superintendent and the principal. This was the beginning of February, mid-February, and the sticker from the door had been taken down at this point. This was February 12th.
Okay.
So they did take the sticker down. I didn't ask to take the sticker down. If they wanted to leave it up, we were like, fine, but you can put a heterosexual sticker next to it to just make it equal.
Mm-hmm.
But they ended up taking the sticker down. And then a couple of days later, it was replaced with a new one.
It was replaced with a new one?
It's still up there, but we're working on that. It's a safe zone sticker with the rainbow A.
Oh, gotcha.
And it's not so much in your face like the pride one, but still.
It's the same thing.
That's the recent thing. Updates that we've had in the last week or so.
Oh, my goodness. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And then we also talked about, or I see in here and in my notes about PE that physical yeah. education. Yeah.
This kid, oh my gosh. So they were splitting the kids up, boys and girls. And he goes, I don't know where to go because I'm non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
So then
fifth grade, 10 year olds. Let's just remind everyone of that.
It's just maddening. I mean, I couldn't even imagine being a teacher right now.
I know. It's terrible, but
that's what my mom said, because she said over the years she saw it get worse and worse and worse. Yeah. And after 44 years, she's like, I don't know how people do it now. It is right. So different.
Right. So different.
When I was 10 years old, I couldn't wait to get home and to watch the cartoon Heathcliff.
Right.
You know, right. Cartoons are by my bike, not this stuff. It's a new world, that's for sure. We're all learning.
Right. And talking about sex, you know, like you were saying before, Kim, about opting out, being able to opt out of that health, sex education. Yeah. And I think even, you know, fifth grade is too young to talk about any of this, but yet it is shoved in our kids' face all the time because they're saying, you know, oh, I like boys, I like girls. And they probably have no idea what that even means.
They don't. And, you know, the principal and the teacher said to me, it's time. You really need to have those conversations with her. It's time.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause when she goes to middle school, they have clubs for people like that.
Yeah. They have clubs for people like that.
They have clubs, LGBTQ clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to get exposed. So you might as well just go ahead and do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I kind of took offense because we don't let our kid live in a bubble. I mean, trust me, mm-hmm. She knows what's going on in the world with politics and the candidates right now and what's going on in the world. I probably sometimes tell her too much,
mm-hmm.
But let's just say she knows a lot more than a 10-year-old should know in the public world. But yeah, she's not in a bubble. She's clearly knows what's going on. But talks like this should be with the parents at home. This should not be in school. It should not be with teachers. This should be it for the parents.
Well, I think it speaks volumes to her coming home and telling you guys what happened.
Yeah, thank goodness she feels comfortable enough to tell us that. Mm-hmm. But if she was to ever ask us something, we don't sugarcoat it. And we tell her. And if she has questions, then we tell her. The answer is honest, because that's just how we've always been.
Yeah.
So if she doesn't notice something, we're not going to bring it up. I mean, I'm sure she's seen people that are like that lifestyle.
Right.
But it's never been a topic of conversation. But one day in the middle of all this, they had a spirit week to celebrate the counselors. Mm-hmm. And her teacher wrote that she wanted the kids to wear rainbow colors one day for the counselors. And so Haley decided she didn't want to wear any color at all and wanted to wear all black. And we tried really hard to get her to wear just something, and she refused. She wore all black. Even her sports bra and socks were black. And she went to school, and she came home, and she said, "Do you want to know what happened to me?" And I said, "Yeah, tell me." So she said that her teacher took her to multiple classrooms and showed her off and said to the teachers, "Oh, look at Haley. Look at how special she is. She's the most specialist of all the kids because she wore black, and black is all the colors of the rainbow mixed together. And isn't she so special because she's wearing black?" And then I guess some of the kids who wore rainbow, they got some money from the class, like to buy stuff, like class money, fake money. Mm-hmm. And when it came to Haley, Haley said she didn't get any money because she wasn't wearing rainbow.
Oh, but I thought she was special. She should have got more.
I know.
More.
That's what I said. I said, "You should have got double money because you were wearing black."
Did you say anything about that? I would have went
off
on
that. Yeah, she said no. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there was a hidden message there for, you
know. Of course.
It's been very touchy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been very touchy.
And for all those parents watching, we did not tell her to wear all black. You know, we did not put her in that position, because we knew. I was trying my hardest that morning to have her put something else on, because I don't want her to be picked on or singled out, because I knew she was probably gonna be the only one all in black.
Right.
But she was adamant about wearing all black, and you know, I was okay with it at the end of the day, because you know, rewind a little bit, during the pandemic, she was the only child or one of the very, very few in her entire school that didn't wear a mask.
No, she was the only person, in the whole school that was not mask wearing.
We went and got an exemption for her. So she's been in this situation before, and she was completely fine with it, and she's used to it by now.
Well, I think that speaks volumes to her character too, because she could have easily have sent out a message to her friends saying, "Hey, wear all black with me," but she didn't.
Yeah,
she wore it all on her own. She reminds me of me when if I was a kid, I would have done the same
tough.
Thing. Yeah,
she's tough. But we do ask her before. Mm-hmm. We're like, "Are you sure? Because this could be, you know, you might be singled out and people might think, you know, things of you." And she's like, "I'm fine. I'm good. I don't want to do that."
See, I mean, where I would have a problem with it is that with the teacher not giving her an award. If she sent and paraded her around saying she's really special.
Four different classrooms. It's just like sick.
Golly, that's
Oh, and then the bonus. So let me ask you if you think this is appropriate. Do you think it's appropriate for a teacher of a fifth grader to give her personal cell phone number out to children?
Absolutely not. I don't think it's appropriate for any teacher to give their cell phone, even if they were a senior.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this one apparently thinks it's fine. So she did to the kids that had cell phones. And one night at 9 o'clock, I saw Haley texting, and I was like, "Oh, who are you texting right now? You should be going to bed." And she said, "Oh, my teacher." She gave us all her number.
Did you? Yeah. Oh my, was this before the flag or after the flag?
This was before.
She got the number before, and I didn't say anything about it, because I immediately grabbed her phone and I deleted it out of there. And I was like, "If you need to talk to her, you can let me know and I'll email her." But I just didn't bring it up because the communication stopped like immediately. But then this all happened. And so I told the principal about that. And I'm pretty sure she probably got in trouble for that too, because that's against the school board policies as well.
Big time. I mean, how is she even still a teacher? And that is very inappropriate.
Yeah.
What I feel like, from what I hear from people, this is starting to become normalized. Students and then teachers, I guess, chatting and communicating like this after hours and outside the school. I feel like this is part of grooming. I feel like teachers in schools these days and the younger grades are, they're trying to normalize this and trying to groom them. So as they get older, there's no issue. This is what we do. This isn't weird or different. You know what I mean? I feel like this is intentional. Like, this is part of their agenda.
It's like, what are they doing with the pedophiles? Something in saying that there is no pedophilia, that you just like younger. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're trying not to
they're trying to like downgrade it.
Yes. Yeah, like downgrade it. Like, this is normal type thing. No, that's not appropriate at all. And, you know, here I'm going to bring up Mike Yoder's website. What is that? Oh, I just tried to. Guys, this is we're having a good time today. Yeah. Okay, so it's a. Yoder Esquire, YoderESQ.com, the Get It Straight, Understanding Federal Anti-Discrimination Laws and Protecting Non-LGBTQ Kids in School. They have toolkits that you can get. If you send the email, is that what you guys did? Did you send an email or send a contact and then get a toolkit? Or was it just knowing that this was wrong?
Both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because Equal Protection Activism Toolkit, he says here in the description, since they are obligated to treat everyone equally, why not display this flag as well? That's the straight flag.
Yeah.
If they refuse, you may have legal action and an opportunity to obtain an injunction for your entire school district. So this is big, right? Your entire one person standing up as saying, hey, you know, display this flag as well. If they refuse, that could be a big deal for the entire school district that ensures heterosexual student rights are protected and guarantee straight students are treated identically to those in the LGBTQ community. So essentially, the straight kids can have their own club too. Is this what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Safe spaces with a little color in it.
Because, you know, can't put the heterosexual flag up now because the pride one's down. So it's not the same. But okay. I just don't understand why she feels it's so necessary to have that on the door to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Fifth grade.
It's fifth grade.
What's scary what's scary is like, if she's so adamant about doing this, what else is happening behind, you know, closed door?
Well, in the midst of all this, we actually found out that this entire time they've been pledging allegiance to nothing. They had no flag in their classroom.
No American flag.
Nope.
Do they now?
We asked them to put one in there, but they have been pledging allegiance to the whiteboard of nothing the whole year.
So they would just say, I pledge allegiance to the flag, wherever it may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was nothing in the classroom.
Yeah, in this classroom, there was nothing. It was just a bare wall. Wow. And I can't confirm if it's a state. I don't know if it's a law in the state that we have to have a United States flag in the classroom. I've heard yes. I've heard no.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just an all-around standard. I mean, if you're saying the pledge, you're going to have a flag for it.
And people say, what's the most inclusive flag out there? The United States flag. It should be that flag, and that should be the only flag, not all these other flags.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to allow any political speech, you have to allow all political speech of that same nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what's the easiest way around that? Just put the United States flag in the room and that's it.
Yeah. I, you know, it just takes me back to when my son was in fifth grade. He was in fifth in 2020 when, you know, the school shut down, and he was just super excited to be able to go to middle school, sixth grade. And, and I remember with, the whole Black Lives Matter movement and stuff. And he was asking about that. And he said, I just don't understand where all this is coming from. We never even talked about this before. And I said, we looked at everybody as equal. You know, we didn't have to talk about their skin color. It was never an issue. And then all of a sudden you have this agenda. I mean, be aware, guys out there listening, this is election year. I'm sure they're going to try to throw something like that in the wrench, and unless they wait like two or three cycles, you know, but it seems like they'd like to, you know, have some big thing that they blow out of proportion, like the George Floyd one, right? And, you know, here's a dude that's all on drugs and has a criminal record. And, you know, who even knows if, I don't know, I won't get into that. It's not the topic of the show, but the fact remains.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the fact remains, you know, what I grew up and one of the basketball players that we played basketball with, everybody thought that she was gay or bisexual, whatever it was, but we never talked about it as kids. We hung out you know, now she's married and, you know, to a woman, and it didn't shock any of us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But now it's like celebrated. And when children are, you know, all the hormones are going on and their brains aren't developed and they have a lot of other issues to deal with than, you know, their sexual orientation at that age, you know?
Yeah, it just makes me sad because it's just now going to be in her head about him. Her perception of him is now changed. Mm-hmm. And that's going to change how she sees people in real life, like when she's at the store.
Right.
Because before she didn't see people differently like that. But now I think it's now making her see people in a different way than she used to, you know?
Right. Right. Well, it's same and with the, you know, black and white.
The innocence of her brain is now tainted.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Same with what they did with the black versus white. Now they're just looking at, you know, black people, you know, differently, you know, or as a special class or something. And, you know, I thought, you know, I mean, I'm 49 years old. You know, I thought that we stopped that in my generation, you know, you know, obviously not. Well, I think your daughter, you're doing a great job with her. Where do you hope this will go? Like, what else are you guys going to do?
I mean, I'm still going to advocate for these kids. I feel like I hear something new every day. She tells me minute things, but the main goal for me is to just make everything equal. I don't want it to be unfair. I don't want her to feel uncomfortable when she's in school. I don't want the other kids to feel uncomfortable. So that's the goal for right now, is just try to like not normalize the situation, but to just try to make it so that it's fair for them.
You know? Have you guys thought about homeschooling?
Yes and no.
She's too much like him. I don't think that would go well because right now he's here and I think that they would butt a lot, but if you have any tips, we would love that.
Well, I will tell you, if you know, well, here's the thing. I decided to homeschool and it was not, I mean, it was this decision where I just recognized the corruption. And I mean, I'm in Scottsdale, right? It's more of an, you know, middle class area. And you would think that these issues and stuff don't happen here, but, you know, they're happening everywhere. And when I found out, when my eyes were open to the corruption of the whole medical industrial complex, I was like, no, absolutely not. I need to train you, teach you on things that actually are going to be of value to you. But when I first started the homeschool journey, I was buying all different types of curriculum and I just was horrible with it. And I would think like, oh my gosh, if my kid's not sitting there for 4 hours a day, 6 hours a day, then, you know, he's not learning anything. And then what I found out through just having conversation and bringing him around other people, and he started speaking on things that I was shocked that he even knew, you know what I'm saying? Like he actually learned it. He didn't memorize it for the test. He learned it so he could conversate on a variety of different topics. But then when I found out school last year, I was blown away. They have over 100,000 courses that you can choose from. And I sit down with Benjamin and I say, okay, what do you want to learn? And we pick his schedule accordingly. So he has like 6 or 7 classes, but sometimes he has 4 classes a day. Sometimes he has 1. And he is competitive in basketball. So he trains during the day and he can get that in. And then he still participates in his local school's extracurriculars. So after school lets out, he goes and he hangs out with the kids there, you know, and plays basketball or, you know, whatever sport there is. So I think out school is a great, great option. I mean, he's in philosophy. He's in 8th grade. Philosophy, intro to law, civics, and with a focus on the Constitution, personal finance, marketing. You know,
things the school don't teach.
Things the school doesn't teach. And he's also in, you know, like how to cope. And he said, Mom, why do you keep putting me in these kinds of classes? And I said, so you don't need a counselor and a therapist when you're older. That's why.
Yeah.
So you learn the tools now.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I
mean,
if you think about it, like this is clearly an agenda that they're putting in the schools. It's been going on for a while now. It's spreading, as like you said, it's in Scottsdale now. But let's just say, for example, let's just say somebody or some entity wanted to create a revolution. Mm-hmm. What would be the first thing you would do? You would think probably trying to separate the children from the parents. I think that would be step number one, because you can't really indoctrinate a 30 or 40 year old, you know, person. But if you can get to the kids early and indoctrinate them and separate them from their parents even more, then you're golden. You're affecting the next generation. So I think that's kind of what's happening in today's world with this, just the pedophilia stuff and allowing a lot of this stuff in the schools these days, especially in the younger grades. But like you say, going back to the district stuff, it just shows, it just takes one family, one parent to say something, and you could potentially affect and change the entire district.
Yeah.
And so I would say, you know, hopefully us standing up and saying something, hopefully this does change our district for the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it gives them pause, right? So that they know like, hey, I got some eyes on me. This teacher sounds to me like one who would risk being fired for her cause. You know?
Oh, yeah.
She's going to be. She's definitely.
She for sure is.
Yeah. I probably. Yeah. Does she have to have this teacher next year?
No.
Okay. Yeah. But, you know, I mean.
This is the last time.
Teaching.
And I didn't want to take her out of the class.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have taken my kid out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I don't want her thinking that it's just like the easy way out. You know, I want her to like experience the struggle a little bit.
Sure.
And to stick up for herself.
Yeah. Well, I think you've already done a wonderful job.
Yeah. Thanks.
Both of you.
I get further.
Dude, I was the one that got her the no mask exemption. I sat in the pediatrician's office for like 2 hours and I was like, I'm not leaving until you sign this document. And so then their practice manager came up and she said, well, we need to write something down on here so she doesn't have to wear a mask. Well, has she ever hyperventilated when she was wearing a mask before? And I said, sure.
Yeah.
And then they signed it so that she didn't have to wear a mask to school.
And how did she get through that? How was her friends with that?
So initially everybody asked her, why are you not wearing a mask? Why are you not wearing a mask? And she said, I am exempt. And then she said, I have CS. Common sense. That was her medical. That's what we told her to tell people. We said, if anyone asks you, say you just have CS and leave me alone. And so she did. She would go around telling people she had CS. And then she'd say, common sense, you guys.
I don't take the blame for that one. That might have been me being too blunt with her.
But
I don't know what to say.
It was, you know, we would tell her every day, if you change your mind, you want to wear a mask, then you can. And she said, no, I don't want to wear that mask. And so she went to school. She definitely was a target. I think some of the teachers would look at her, and like one time they had a sub, and after, because they had to sit at their desks for lunch, and then after that they could go sit on the carpet and watch TV. So she ate and then she went to go sit on the carpet, and the teacher looked at her and she was like, where is your mask? And she said, I don't have to wear one because I have an exemption. And she goes, well, you can just stay at your desk and watch the TV. There's too many kids on the carpet for you to sit down. So
I think a lot of the teachers at that point were kind of what her parents.
And then a lot of kids were asking her if she had been, you know,
jabbed.
And she said, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have not done that and I'm not doing that. But neither him, me, or her, we've never tested for COVID before.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
We haven't had a reason to. We've been sick, you know, with sniffles and stuff, but like not sick enough to do that. And I don't think even if I was sick enough to do that, I would do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't test. I don't recommend it. I say why? It doesn't mean anything. Even people coming into the ER, I say to them all the time, yeah, but I have to do a COVID test. Do you want it? And they're like, do I have to? And I said, no. I said, honestly, there's nothing any different we're going to do for you. It's just to collect data, and I don't even know why. And then they're like, no, I don't want it. And I'm like, okay, hey, doc, room 7 refused COVID. He's like, okay. You know, that's how I roll. But well, thank you guys for your time and stepping up and sharing your journey. I hope this inspires others to, you know, to speak up and to have conversations. Make sure you're having conversations with your children and you know, asking open-ended questions, not asking open-ended questions, right? Like, how was your day? Fine. You know, you guys got to get creative to figure out, you know, what really is going on. I find a good way to do that is going for a walk. And then I don't know, it's like my son just spills everything when we're out for a walk. Yeah. So, you know, something away from the TV and electronics, but check out YoderESQ.com and check out his activism kits. And if you guys happen to use it, then reach out to us at nurses@AmericaOutloud.com. And we will definitely share your story. It's an exciting time, guys. You know, there's a lot of opportunity to make a real difference in this world. Until next time, maybe next time I can speak. Until next time, be safe, be well, and God bless.
It's time in this city.